Please turn your Bibles with me or your bulletins to John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. As we continue our study together of the book of John, John chapter 8, verses 48 through 59. This is the word of God. The Jews answer him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets die? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God, but you have not known him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you, but I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he will see my day. He said he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they pick up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word you have given to us today. We thank you that you have also empower us through the Holy Spirit to understand spiritual truth, to understand what you have revealed in it, that you give us new eyes, eyes that can see and believe, that you have opened the eyes of our hearts to read this and trust in you for salvation. We pray, Lord, that you may help us to be strengthened in our faith as we consider these verses. And we pray for anyone here or anywhere who still don't know you, that he might keep Jesus' word and that he will never see death. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're getting to the end of this 5 weeks study on the chapter 8 of the book of John, where we have been looking at powerful statements from our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus says is powerful, and everything that Jesus says in his words is important. But I have chosen some statements that are very relevant because they bring light to the rest of the section that we are studying together. Today, the statement is the one that you find in verse 51. "If I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." One thing that you can notice throughout chapter 8 is that you see a contentious conversation between Jesus and the Jews, in this case the religious leaders, that has been escalating little by little. The religious leaders said some things to Jesus. Jesus replied to them. They don't like Jesus' response. They ask Jesus questions. Jesus answered their question, and they don't like Jesus' response, and they keep getting upset and upset about what Jesus is saying. It is, as I would put it, a polarized conversation. They are going in two different directions, and they get to this point where the thing has escalated so much that they are calling Jesus or saying that Jesus is even possessed by a demon. So one thing that I like us to do today is look at the back and forth of Jesus and the religious leaders in these verses and learn from what Jesus is revealing to them and revealing to us as well about himself, about God the Father, and even about Abraham. And second, to see how they missed the good news in this conversation. Because sometimes some of us has missed the good news that have been preached to us because we are not happy about what we are hearing. And that's what happened with them. So let us first focus on looking at the conversation and go through it and see what Jesus is teaching to us about himself. The Jews answer him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" They are not saying this out of the blue, like all of a sudden they just said these two things. They are saying these things based on what Jesus has been telling them. And because of that, they end accusing Jesus of these two things, of being a Samaritan and to have a demon. We don't know with certainty why they say that Jesus was a Samaritan, but probably there is a reason in what Jesus have told them. First of all, when Jesus talked about freedom and their need of being set free and that the truth set them free, they said that they were sons of Abraham. And one of the things that you see throughout these verses, previous verses, is that Jesus tells them that if they were really sons of Abraham, they would be doing the things that Abraham did. In fact, as Jesus continues, he ends saying to them that they were sons of their father, the devil. But I think that there might be a connection between Jesus telling them that they were sons of Abraham and they calling Jesus a Samaritan. Because Samaritans will look at the Jews and see or say to them that they were the right people of God and they worshiped in a special place that was the right place to worship, and the Jews were not worshiping in the right place. By Jesus telling them that they were no sons of Abraham, him being a Jew, it sounds to them like that he is criticizing actually the Jews in general, like the Samaritans were criticizing the Jews. Again, that's just a possibility. I know in Jesus' brain to know why, or in their brain to know why they said that to him, but that's one of the possibilities. The other possibility is that they were mocking Jesus. Remember that they have questioned Jesus. They said, "Where is your father?" Trying to infer that he doesn't have a father because Joseph wasn't his father. They said to Jesus, "Who do you think you are?" When they say who you are, is who do you think you are? They were mocking Jesus. "Who do you make yourself to be?" they ask here. And in the previous verses, they even told Jesus that they were not born of sexual immorality, probably inferring that Jesus was, because Joseph was not his father. In any case, they were using this accusation against Jesus to criticize Jesus, to look down on Jesus. Now, the other thing that they said to Jesus and that he was that he had a demon. Let me tell you a story, or let me tell you something that happened to Joe and I when we went to visit the nursing home this week. We go there the first week of the month to bring communion to nursing home residents. There is a Bible study there happening. We bring a worship service. There is music, and we share the word of God with them, and we bring communion to some of the residents there who are believers. When we got there to the third floor, I could hear very loud a man screaming from one of the rooms. And right away I thought, maybe somebody that is upset with one of the nurses or the caregivers there, and he's just not happy and he's yelling at him. But my surprise was when we got to the room where one of our team members was teaching the word of them, and one of the residents there was yelling at him. And from what I heard from him, he has been doing that, or was doing that, for about 20 minutes. So basically he wasn't letting him to teach the Bible study. After God in his power was able to control the situation, we sing some hymns together, and we had communion. I had a conversation with the team member, and I asked him, how did this happen? When did this man started to yell at you? And he said that it was in the very moment when he said that Jesus had come healing people and casting out demons. What is interesting is that what this man was yelling at the teacher, or the Bible study leader, was that Jesus himself had a demon, or that he was a demon. Similar thing is happening here. Jesus has told the religious leaders that their father is the devil, because they were doing the works of the devil, who was a liar and a murderer. And what are they doing here in response to Jesus' attack on their way of living and doing things, saying that Jesus had a demon, similar to what happened to us this week? Now, what is Jesus' answer? I think Jesus' answer is a very merciful answer. Think about this. Jesus is God, and they are accusing God of having a demon. Jesus could have done this, and they would have all disappeared at once. But no, Jesus said to them, I do not have a demon. I in fact don't know what was the tone of voice that Jesus used in this moment, but he said, I do not have a demon. And what is the reason he can prove that he do not have a demon is that he honored his father. If you remember from previous verses, one of the things that Jesus said to the crowd, to the Jews, is that they could not bring an accusation against him as if he have committed any sin. And he is challenging them, saying, how is it that you cannot believe me if you do not have anything to say against me as if I am a sinner? Well, Jesus is proving to them that he hath no a demon, because his life was an example of one who honored the Father. Remember that in another occasion, Matthew 12:20-28, when they are accusing of Jesus of casting demons in the name of Beelzebub, Jesus says, if the house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. If Jesus is honoring the Father, if Jesus is seeking to do God's will, how is it that they can say that he had a demon? In contrast, Jesus honored the Father. Jesus said to them, you dishonor me. And remember that Jesus have told them, him and the Father are one. Therefore, by dishonoring Jesus, they were in fact dishonoring the Father, the very person they were trying to protect or defend. Jesus is saying to them, you dishonor me. If you dishonor me, you dishonor the Father. Yet Jesus say, I do not seek my own glory. I honor my Father, but I'm not telling you to tell you that I'm seeking my glory or to glorify myself. So you look at me, I honor my Father. There is one who seeks my glory. He will say it down in verse 54. The Father is the one who seeks Jesus' glory. This is my beloved Son, said the Father, in whom I am well pleased. It is an exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. But think about this. When Jesus came into the world, he emptied himself. If Jesus was coming to seek his own glory, he will show all his majesty to everybody as he was born and appeared in this world. But he emptied himself. He took the form of a servant. That's an evidence that Jesus wasn't seeking his own glory. Yet the Father was seeking Jesus' glory. How so? Besides saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. In supporting Jesus throughout all his ministry. How so? By raising Jesus from the dead. By bringing him up and sit him at the right hand of him, the Father. God also seeks Jesus' glory by giving him the authority to be the judge of the world. When he will come at the end of the time, and every knee will bow down before him and confess that Jesus is the Lord. Think about all what Jesus is revealing to this crowd here. They are attacking Jesus, saying that you have a demon, and in his mercy, he is telling them sweet, important things that they should have taken in their hearts and treasure them. Then he says to them, truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. We will get back to this at the end of the message about what he was saying to them, but let us focus right now in how did they respond to this statement from Jesus. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Now we know that you have a demon. Jesus has just told them this. And all they could think is to say and affirm what they have already told Jesus. Now we know that you have a demon. And if you summarize all what they are saying in verses 52, 53, the reason why they are saying that now we know that you have a demon is because they were saying to Jesus, are you greater than Abraham? Do you think that you are greater than Abraham? Remember that they have told Jesus with great pride, our father is Abraham. And therefore, if our father is Abraham, we are connected with God. But are you greater than Abraham? Why? Because Abraham died. The prophets died. And Abraham never said these words to anybody. Abraham never said to anybody, follow my words and you will never see death. Therefore, what Jesus was saying was something unique. It's interesting that question that they asked, are you greater than Abraham? It's a good question, by the way. Because the answer is, yes, I am. Yes, I am. And if you are willing to believe that I am greater than Abraham, you will never see death. Then they mock Jesus again. Remember, who do you think you are? Where is your father? We are not born of sexual immorality. They ask him here, who do you make yourself out to be? This is not a humble question as, okay, Jesus, you are telling us that the Father seeks your glory, that you are honoring the Father, that if we follow your words, we will never see death. We really want to know who you are, because we might be in front of the Messiah, and if we are in front of the Messiah, we better know that. No, that's not the question they are asking Jesus. The question is in connection with, are you greater than Abraham? No, a real question, a rhetorical question. For then the answer is, no, you are no greater than Abraham. You are no greater than the prophets. How is it that you said this? Then Jesus answered them. Think about the mercy that Jesus has. and the patience that Jesus have. Maybe an example for us as we deal with people who struggle with believing. If Jesus, who is God, who is being accused of all these things, answer this way, who are we to be upset when somebody is actually asking us and probably challenging our faith? Jesus goes back to say, in connection with, are you greater than Abraham? If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's my Father who glorifies me. The Father is the one who proved to them that yes, he was greater than Abraham. The Father is the one who is giving Jesus glory. Remember, he emptied himself. They could not see but the son of Mary, the son of Joseph. They have said, is this not the son of Mary and Joseph? Is this not just the son of the carpenter that we know? And he again challenged them with this. Says, it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. You guys proclaim that he is your God. You guys believe that Abraham is your father, that he is your father. God is your father, that he is your God. The problem is that you do not even know him. And think about this. We're looking at here at this contentious conversation and how the situation is escalating. Of course, Jesus is saying to them very hard things. He has said to them that their father is the devil. Right now, he's speaking to the religious leaders, not just to regular Jews who are part of the community, but the religious leaders who are supposed to be the teachers of the people of God, about who God is, that they do not know God. In a sense, we can say that yes, he was patient, but he was not gentle to the point of compromising the truth. They didn't know God. He's going to tell them, you do not know God. But Jesus said to them, I know him. And if I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and I keep his word. Keep his word. Keep this in mind. He says here, he keeps the Father's word. Verse 49, he's saying, I honor my Father, which is keeping the Father's word. And he's saying to them what they have to do is to keep his word, Jesus' word, so that they will not see death. Now Jesus again continued to reveal to them these amazing things. Your father, Abraham, the one you said that is your father, the one that you are so proud to call your father and be connected with him in order to be connected with God, rejoice that he will see my day. Rejoice that he will see what Jesus was doing at that very moment. And there are different opinions and ideas about what does this mean. Does it mean that he rejoiced in the past, that he will see this day? Because look what he says after that. He says, and he saw it, and he was glad. So, did he saw that day, that Jesus, Lord's day, the Lord's day, in the past, through a revelation that God gave to him? Or was he referring to Abraham at that very moment, seeing what Jesus was doing? In consultation with another pastor, I was getting to understand that he was actually referring to both things. I mean, different commentaries would take one side, the other side, but in reality, Abraham saw in the past that all the nations would be blessed through his descendants and pointing to Christ, but also in the present, at that moment when Jesus was doing that, Abraham was glad that he finally saw the fulfillment of what was promised. I think this is a very important point if we consider what Jesus is promising to them, that you will never see death. Because he was proving to them through what Abraham was witnessing that Abraham did not see death as well. That he was, in fact, very alive, rejoicing and glad that he was witness of the Lord's day. That Jesus was fulfilling what he had promised. God had promised in the Old Testament. Did they want to know more, a little more about this? Jesus, can you expand in what you have just told us? This is amazing. Are you talking about Abraham? Maybe if they would have asked those questions, commentaries won't have to be going around trying to figure it out. Are you saying that Abraham is rejoicing right now in heaven, looking at this? What is happening right now? No. They said, you are not even 50 years old and have you seen Abraham? They have zero faith in what Jesus was saying to them. Zero faith. Not even a little bit. They were getting more and more upset. And here Jesus answered to get them to the edge. Truly, truly, I'm telling you the truth. This is the truth. Jesus is saying to them, before Abraham was, ego eimi, I am. It is not only saying before Abraham was, I was alive. I existed before Abraham existed. And God is what Jesus is saying to them. I don't know if you have heard, I probably shared this with you about the story of this friend who became a Christian, and 6 months afterwards, we're studying the book of John and we're in chapter 1, and when he reads the first chapter, he realizes and say, wait a second, are you saying that Jesus existed before everything that was created existed and that he created everything? His eyes were wide open. He was already a Christian, but he was learning more about who was that Jesus that he trusted for salvation. Jesus is telling them, yes, I'm greater than Abraham. I'm greater than the prophets. I was before all of them. He's, again, being very merciful, revealing to them more about him so they could trust him. They could worship him. They could trust what he has said before and therefore be saved. But we know the end of the story, at least in this part. They pick up stones and they were ready to kill Jesus. That's what I'm talking about, a polarized conversation. They went the other way and they were ready to be Jesus' killers. They wanted to kill Jesus. They were not happy with Jesus. But his hour had not yet come. That's why he was able to think about this. How would you explain this? Hide himself and go out of the temple? Somebody may have a rational explanation for that, but it was simply that Jesus was not there at that moment to give his life for his people. His time will come, but not yet. Now this is the, as I said, a polarized conversation. You know why I'm using that word is because often when you are having a conversation with a person that you disagree on principles, very strong principles, you can be hearing even some things that are things that you agree with the person or things that are probably even good, and the temptation is to say you disagree. And that's what is happening here, because think about what Jesus told them in verse 51. These are the greatest news they could ever hear. If you keep my word, you will never see death. If you keep my word, you will never die. What these two things means, first of all, to keep my word is to believe in Jesus, to trust in Jesus. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. So if you believe me, Jesus is saying to them, and believing move to obedience. If you believe me and obey me, you will never see death. They will all die, and we will all die if Christ hath not come before we die. Some of us will be further clothed, which means that Christ will come and we will be taken up and will go with God and Christ for eternity. But those of us who will die before Jesus comes. Therefore, we will all die at some point. But there is also this other reality that we were all born deaf, spiritually deaf. And as Jesus explained to Nicodemus, you need to be born again to see and enter the kingdom of God. Therefore, if you are spiritually alive, if you have experienced spiritual rebirth because the Holy Spirit has come upon you and opened the eyes of your hearts, and you have been able to see the gospel, now you are a new creature in Christ, you are alive, you are spiritually alive. Remember Ephesians chapter 2, you were spiritually dead, now you are alive together with Christ. You will never die. If you die before Christ comes, all what is going to die is your body. But your soul, your spirit, will not die even for a second. You will be with God. And if we understand this, we'll face death in a different way. Because we just know that is your transfer from one place to another. For the world is the end. For us, it is not. It is just a trip to a better place. That's what Jesus was offering to them. Think about this. He's not just saying this. This is a statement of how you are saved for all generations. Yes, this is applicable to all of us. He's speaking to them. If anyone, including all of you who are there, the religious leaders, keep my word, believe me, you will never see death. But they miss it. Are you greater than Abraham? That's all they could say. Are you greater than the prophets? Because they could not believe in Jesus' words. So my prayer for you, whether you are here for the first time or wherever you are, is that you do not miss the good news. Because I tell you, I almost missed it this week. I was looking at the test and I was thinking about 4 points. What we know about Abraham, what we know about Jesus, what we know about the religious leaders, and, well, I forgot the order, the Jews, what we know about all of them. And I'm looking at the contentious conversation and the tension, and I'm forgetting about the good news, which was the main point of the test. Again, you can be talking with somebody that you might disagree in many aspects, and you might be hearing good news, and you miss the good news because we're paralyzed. You are in your side and you don't want to hear the other person. Sometimes you can come to the church and there are great news for you, but you are so concerned about so many other things that you leave this place missing the good news that God has for you and for me. I hope that you don't miss the good news today. You go out knowing, and probably not knowing, but just remembering that you will never see death because you believe in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace and mercy and love and compassion and patience. All these many things that we have because you are a loving God who sent your Son, who emptied himself, who died on the cross to give us eternal life. We thank you if we are alive together with Christ. We thank you for that. We thank you that because of that, we will never see death. And we pray for anyone in this room or anywhere who have not trusted in Jesus, who does not keep Jesus' words, that they will believe and be saved as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.